It's been the third Sunday, would normally be our mission update, and Dave Roper shared very movingly at 8:30 and 10:30 this morning about the work of Menina Dancer and some of the extraordinary things that Dave and Arnie's son Matt and has been doing out there, particularly with a 14-year-old girl, I think she is called Daniela, and who is 6 months pregnant, or I think maybe even more than that now. But he's going to share that with you another time. He couldn't be here tonight to do that. So you will get the opportunity at this service to hear a bit of that story. I'm not quite sure when in the next couple of weeks or so Dave will be coming to share that with us. So if you're thinking what's happened to Mission Update, that's the story behind that. But it is well worth hearing, so watch out for that in the next few weeks. As I said earlier at the start of our service, we're beginning a series looking at prayer. Over this term, both in our main teaching, in all of our services, morning and evening, and also in our cell groups. So I'm going to hand over to Judith. Judith, you want to just do the reading as well? That's probably the easiest thing. And Judith, come and share some thoughts to get us started thinking about this very important area of our Christian lives. So, Judith, I'll hand over to you.
Okay, we're reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and beginning at verse 5. But when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I was sort of browsing on the internet and came upon a list of somewhat tongue-in-cheek prayers. And there was one that was entitled "For the Preacher at the Beginning of a Sermon." And it went like this. Lord, help me say some useful stuff and nudge me when I've said enough. And let you be the judge of how we get on there. I want to suggest at the beginning that we're all beginners when it comes to praying. I wonder whether there's anybody here tonight who would say that they're an expert. Because if anybody wants to swap places... But I reckon that most Christians, certainly most Christians that I've met, would say something like they don't feel that they pray as much as they would like to, or maybe don't pray as well as they think they should. And I think we're all, you know, beginners. So I bring this message tonight with no sense of... you know, thinking of any sort of expertise, but that actually we're on a journey and we're learning together. So hopefully we're okay on that. I'm sure as I read those words, they were very familiar. It's called the Lord's Prayer. It did strike me that Jesus didn't actually pray it. So maybe it should be the disciples' prayer. But I'm not sure that so many years down the road of the church, we're going to make a change to it. It appears here in Matthew's Gospel. We also find it in Luke's Gospel, but in a slightly different context. Here comes the express train. And I'll touch on that a little bit later. There's often a bit of a question of the Lord's Prayer. Did Jesus intend it as, you know, a model? These are the very words that you pray. Or was it, you know, something to recite? Was it a model of how we might go about praying? Well, actually, I think it can be both of those things. Yes, we do use it as a prayer that we pray when we come together, and I guess some of us use it privately as well. But it also acts for us as a model of how we might spend some time in prayer. So I want to pick out a few things this evening. And the first one is, this actually tells us something about how not to pray. Right at the very beginning, when Jesus starts this bit, he says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't keep babbling on like the pagans. Their prayers were generally very showy. They'd stand around on the street corners where they knew that everybody could see them and use long, eloquent words, articulate phrases. They'd want to make it sound, you know, really good. What was important was what it sounded like. And they go babbling on. The longer the prayer, the more effective it was going to be. It was about creating a good impression. I wonder if you've ever been intimidated by others who seem just more articulate, or able to use long words or really long sentences without any ums and ers and ahs and, you know, repeating things and tripping over ourselves. Or maybe you've heard those prayers that go on for ages and ages and ages. And that can be just a bit intimidating, can't it? Because we think, I can't do that. We don't need to be intimidated because, you know, it's clear here, God is not impressed. In fact, he delivers a fairly stinging criticism of these hypocrites, that they've already received their reward. Is he saying there that, well, you know, if they want to be noticed, they want to look good, they want to create a good impression, yeah, maybe they do that, but that's the reward. The prayer is not what God is wanting. I wonder tonight, for us, do we sometimes need to, you know, examine our motives? Can we fall into that trap of trying to show off, trying to be impressive, of thinking that using clever words will make a difference? Do we fall into a trap of thinking that if we pray really long prayers, they'll be more effective than little short ones? And then Jesus talks about where to pray. It says in verse 6, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Jesus tells us to go and pray somewhere quiet on our own. Now, Jesus is not saying that we shouldn't sometimes pray with other people. Because yes, we should. Sometimes we need to pray with others, with one or two other people in a larger group. But what he's talking about here is prayer in secret. Not about hiding away, but it's about a personal relationship. We're not coming to God to give him a load of information. We're not coming to God to tell him stuff that he doesn't already know. We're coming to God to share in a relationship, to share in,
never ever do it again,
to share in a conversation. It's about sharing our heart with God, about telling him how we feel. God uses the word Father. We find this twice. Well, three times actually. When you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father. Then your Father who sees. And then a little bit later, our Father in heaven. To these Jewish hearers, the idea of calling God Father was pretty revolutionary. God was not a father. God was a God of justice, a God of the law. And the Greek word that Jesus uses is much more intimate. Father can seem a bit cold, a bit distant. But the word Abba, which can be translated as daddy, it's about an intimate relationship. And Jesus is saying here, when you pray, you're coming into an intimate relationship. And the place for that is to do it privately and on our own. For some of us, finding somewhere quiet and on our own to pray is easy. For others, maybe it's a bit more difficult. But I suggest we all need to find a space where we can be on our own with God, where we're not going to be interrupted by the telephone, by emails, by whatever else is going on. But we can just spend time quietly with our Heavenly Father in this intimate relationship. So let's look at some of the things that God, that Jesus here tells us to pray. This prayer that we're quite familiar with, that we know of as the Lord's Prayer. And he starts off, our Father in heaven. Again, we get that intimacy, but yet he's our Father in heaven. And we need to acknowledge that his name is hallowed. His name is holy. We begin by praising God. We begin in a sense of worship. And then, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. That is a really big prayer. We're praying for God's kingdom. And quite literally, that means that God, for God's rule, for God to be king, for God to rule where? Well, on the earth, but in all situations. We're praying for God to rule in our town of Mansfield, for God to rule with those girls in those desperate situations in Brazil that Dave was talking about this morning, for Daniela. For God to rule in all parts of our world when we see disasters, when we read of famine, of earthquake. We're praying for God's kingdom to come into that. We're praying for God's kingdom to come for those who are dying of cancer, of all sorts of illnesses, for the unemployed, those who are addicted. Whatever situation, whatever need we can see in our world, we pray for God's kingdom to come into that situation. That is one huge prayer. And sometimes when we come to God, we can bring specific situations before Him. But yet God knows what's on our heart. I wonder if, like me, you know, you've spent some time in prayer and then you go on to do something else. You think, oh, crumbs, I forgot to pray for that. And we can beat ourselves up about stuff like that, can't we? But, you know, actually, if that's on our hearts, as we pray, your kingdom come, these things that we've got with us, that we carry, we bring to God as part of that prayer. And then the next bit, give us today our daily bread. I guess for most of us here tonight, we don't really know what it means to need to pray for our food, because we don't know where the next meal is coming from. Because we're pretty blessed, really, aren't we? And we live in a nation, in a place where food generally is pretty plentiful.
Don't you think that's a bit rude? I've always thought when we say give us our daily bread, we shouldn't be saying thank you for our daily bread.
Maybe that's a different sort of prayer. But, you know, for many, many in this world, this is a reality. This is a prayer they need to pray. And, yeah, absolutely, we need to thank God for what we have. But I don't think Jesus is talking just about physical food, but actually about our material needs. And maybe the word in there that we can gloss over so easily is, give us today our daily bread. We quite like stockpiling, don't we? You know, I mean, I've got, you know, quite a bit of food in my fridge and in the cupboards. I guess many of us have. And we quite like to make sure we've got a bit of money in the bank, sort of, you know, just in case, and we're only being sensible. And, you know, we quite like to think we've got a nice sort of pension pot, you know, for later when we need it. But actually, this is our daily bread. What do we need now, for now? Reminded when I read this of the Israelites as they were in the desert, and God providing them with manna every day. And the instruction that they were given was that they were to go out every morning and collect what they needed for that day. And they weren't to collect any more than that, except when it was a Sabbath, and then they could collect 2 days worth of food. But of course, you know, some of them, because people are people and we're not always very good at following, at obeying orders, are we? So some of them went out and collected extra. I guess you think, well, you know, I might get a bit more peckish, or it'll just save a bit of effort tomorrow. But actually what happened was that the extra that they stockpiled went rotten. They couldn't keep it. Throughout those 40 years, they were given food. God provided them with food every day, but only for the day. I think that's a challenge for all of us, actually, because, you know, we want to make sure that, yeah, okay for today, but to make sure that we're okay for tomorrow as well. And yet, we have this prayer, give us what we need for today. And it's actually only a few verses later that Jesus says those words, you know, don't worry about tomorrow. Forgive us today, forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. We need material things on a daily basis, but we also need to forgive and to be forgiven on a daily basis. God is not having some sort of little petty sulk when he says, if you don't forgive others, I'm not going to forgive you. But actually, God cannot do that. Unless we're open to forgive, we're not able to receive God's forgiveness. If you imagine somebody wants to give you something, in order to receive it, you need to open out your hand to receive. And in opening your hand, you're then also offering something. It's just a two-way process, isn't it? And actually, if we're holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness, then that restricts the forgiveness that God is able to pour out into our lives. And then lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The NRSV Bible says, do not bring us to the time of trial, which is maybe a bit easier to sort of get our heads around. Yet evil is real in this world. Evil is real. And we will all be tempted. Different ways. We have our different weak spots. It'll be different things for many of us here tonight that will, you know, just tempt us, draw us away from God, maybe very subtly, almost imperceptibly sometimes. But actually we can realise that it's just not quite right, that we are falling prey to this temptation. And we constantly need to be praying for protection. It's a real battle. And we need God's protection if we're to resist that temptation, if we're to fight against it, and if we're to be victorious. It's a very whistle-stop tour, if you like. And if you're thinking, well, what about the last bit? For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Well, the church added that bit on, because you need a nice ending. And that's a bit flippant, but there we go. Three times, though, here, Jesus uses the words, when you pray. When you pray. It's not actually optional. If we want to follow Christ, if we want to grow as disciples, if we don't pray, we're going to find ourselves in something of a mess. God lovingly wants a relationship with us. He longs us to draw aside, to be quiet, to spend time with him, our loving Heavenly Father. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Just
yeah, it's so important, isn't it, to pray. And yet it seems sometimes so difficult. I just want us to take a moment to reflect on the words that Judith has brought us as she's gone through those words, of course, of Jesus. Just try and get yourself as comfortable as possible. I realise that's a challenge on these pews. But just try and sit as comfortably as you can. And, you know, it might be helpful just to close your eyes. But just, if that's helpful, just... You know, Jesus asks us to, in a sense, go to a place where we're on our own. Well, we're in a group of 50 people or so here, but nonetheless, just close your eyes and don't worry about anybody else around you for a moment. And just be still before the Lord. Jesus is quite clear in this passage that we don't need to use lots of words. And just as you still yourself and still your body by not moving it, so we need to be still in our spirit. And as you're sitting there, maybe you're just, what we tend to become aware of is just become aware of our breathing. Just sort of, don't try and control it, but just be aware of it as you breathe in and out. And I was doing this the other day, and it struck me that if I stop breathing, I think I've got about 3 minutes. That's all you've got if you stop breathing. No cup of tea later on. No bed tonight. Just 3 minutes, that's all we've got if we stop breathing. And as you breathe in, just breathe in the presence of God. And as you breathe out, just surrender yourself to Him. And just as you do that, just allow that peace, the peace of God, to fill you. And know that this is prayer. Jesus is quite clear, we don't need to use lots of words.